Is this thing on? Word.
This is the Rookie Sports Report, hosted by Matthew Frizzell.
4 runs off the Detroit Tigers, who are the 10th worst in all of baseball.
And Logan Weber.
But this man was swallowed whole by a whale.
Presented by 96.9, 99.9, and AM 1060, ESPN, The Jock.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
You know, I'm so excited for us hosting Sports Talk tomorrow that I actually gave unexpected viewers a bit of a preview on the Jock airwaves here about a couple minutes ago. We start our podcast, but forgot we were still on program, which means we were on the air, unannounced and probably unwelcome to the ESPN feed. But, you know, you live and you learn, and hey, it's Mondays.
Yeah, gotta love those Mondays.
Yeah, it is what it is. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast. Hopefully no one's hearing that for a second time here on the Jock stations. Matthew Frizzell alongside
Logan Weber.
How was your weekend, partner? And first off, how was the game you had on KWTO the other night?
It was good. So we were in, myself and Don Luzader, the legendary Don Luzader. Most people hear him doing news and traffic and sports on KWTO, Wake Up Springfield every morning on that legendary station. We were in Urbana. You know, in doing research about Skyline High School, it was located, according to the address, it's in Hermitage, but everybody we talked to in Skyline said, no, it's usually Skyline at Urbana. They were taking on an absolute powerhouse in Missouri high school football in Valley Catholic of St. Genevieve. So, you know, going into it, I thought it was going to be a great game. Both teams have a lot of talent. You know, Skyline showed flashes, but it just seemed like Valley Catholic was just a different level, a different level of competition, a different level of talent, and they ran away with it. They had, in the first half, they had 4 touchdowns of at least 60 yards. I mean, it was just big play after big play from Valley Catholic. Valley Catholic had a running back that had 3 touchdowns of 60 or more yards. He had over 200 yards rushing in the first half. And 3 touchdowns. He had a run of 73 yards, a run of 68 yards, and a run of 63 yards, all for touchdowns in the first half. They had their quarterback, Chase Fowler, took one 96 yards to the barn on a quarterback keeper. It was just so many big plays. And, you know, every time it seemed like Skyline was getting some momentum, they were driving. At one point, they got down inside the red zone of Valley Catholic, and they fumbled. Got it back, and on the first play after the fumble, Valley Catholic took it 80 yards to the barn. It was just nothing they could do about it. They got a first down early in the first quarter and then immediately threw a pick six the very next play. It just seemed like one thing after another going poorly for Skyline, and Valley Catholic took full advantage with all the talent they have. But one of those things, I think both teams are going to be very successful in their respective classes, conferences, districts, whatever. And, you know, Skyline is been ranked as they were a top 10 team in class 1 last year. They returned 3 all-state performers in their Logan Beam, one of the two. Their starting quarterback, as well as 2 first team all-state receivers that are coming back. So I mean, they've got a ton of talent. They were shut out in that game last year 48-0. They managed to put up a couple of scores this go around. 50-14 was the final last Friday. So it wasn't quite as intriguing of a game as a lot of us had thought, but both teams still showed they had plenty of talent and are definitely going to be able to compete and put up great numbers and great records in their respective classes. But, you know, now looking forward to this Friday, Springfield Catholic hosting McDonald County. So Springfield Catholic, a team that, you know, had a very up and down year last year. They lost their first 3 games of the season, then had 3 weeks canceled because of COVID, and then, you know, came back and won their final 3 games of the season, and then ended up losing in districts to a great team in Mount Vernon. So who knows what's going to happen this week? I'm not really sure. I don't know a lot about McDonald County at this point. That's not something that we're going to have to learn a little bit more throughout the course of this week. But it's, you know, high school football's back, and, you know, I'm glad to be a part of it here for Zimmer Communications, KWTO, the Jock, whichever station we're on, hosting high school football on a Friday.
Whichever frequency they put you on, you'll be there.
Exactly.
You and But legendary Don loses.
Well, this it was Don this week.
Who you got this week now?
Now that we're closer, we're in the Springfield area. I'm going to have Ned. Ned Reynolds is going to be on the call with me. So I'm not really sure. Haven't had a chance to talk to Ned about it very much. I don't know if he's going to want to do color or if he will have me do color and he'll do play-by-play. But, you know, he's a legend in the area, so hopefully that'll lead to some people tuning in for our game. And it will allow myself to kind of get, you know, learn some stuff from one of the most notorious sports writers in the area or sports reporters in the area.
Have a good time, man. No, in all seriousness, Ned's a great guy to learn from. He's been around this area for so long now, and it'll be an experience. It'll be an experience for sure. What else you do this weekend?
Aside from that, you know, I didn't really do a whole lot on Saturday. I made myself stay up, which it turned out to be a pretty good thing. So I probably should have stayed here Friday night and worked overnight. I was just so amped up from the game. I came home Friday night, about midnight was when I got home, and just watched TV and movies, played video games until, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then slept all day till maybe 5 or 6 o'clock. You know, watched some TV for a little bit longer, played some video games and whatnot. Came into the studio here, worked overnight, 11 to 7, Saturday into Sunday, and then, you know, went back home, slept. Did the same thing. Watched movies.
Watch, rinse, repeat.
Yep. Watched movies, played video games, watched TV, whatever. I finished Grey's Anatomy.
Congratulations, I guess.
I never really thought I would like that show. Blood and surgery and stuff like that makes me super nervous, which is funny because when I was a kid, that was what I wanted my first job to be. So when I was 3 years old, my younger brother was born. And when he was born with a heart defect. He had something wrong with his heart. He had something wrong with his lungs. He was born like 6 weeks premature, which is crazy because he was still like 7 pounds.
Yeah.
He was like 6 or 8 weeks premature and was like 6 or 7 pounds, which meant that he probably would have been like a 10 or 12 pound baby, which makes sense for how big he is now, 6'3". But I told my parents that I wanted to be a cardiologist because, you know, that was who we had to take Coleman, my little brother, to all the time, to the doctor, was a cardiologist. So that's what I wanted to be, you know, until I got older and I was watching shows like Grey's Anatomy or ER or MASH or whatever, and I saw the blood and the surgical stuff and like people's insides, and I got like nauseous and sick to my stomach. I couldn't stand it. But I really have started to really like the show. Watch that, and then, you know, a very eventful aspect of my Sunday, and this is something that, you know, I've made fun of on the podcast, made fun of my dad and my younger brother. They're big cat people, you know, and I've never really been much of a cat person. I've always been more of a dog person.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Saturday afternoon, evening, I went outside after my fiance got home to get her bags out of her car. And I heard this noise, and I look over to my left along the railing outside of my fiance's aunt and uncle's house, and there's a little kitty, tiny little cat, little black and white cat, and I walked out to her car to get her bags and stuff, and the cat just followed me all the way along the railing, and then followed me all the way back along the railing as I went back towards the house. So I went back outside after grabbing her stuff, and I took her outside with me to show her this cat. And, you know, most of the time you see a stray cat, they get very skittish and they run away from you, whatever. Well, I sat down on this little picnic table that is right outside of our bedroom door because our room leads right outside. And this cat walks right up to me and just starts, like, wanting me to pet it. It's, like, walking in between my legs
rubbing
and stuff.
Against
and,
you, yeah.
And so I picked this cat up to start loving on it, and this cat laid in my arms for 15 minutes. Aww. Did not want to move. This cat loves to be held and petted and so on and so forth. So we tried to feed it, you know, because it's a very, very skinny cat, little
right.
tiny
Stray
cat.
Stray cats usually are.
Yeah, they're very, very skinny. Tried to feed it. We decided to go try vegetables at first, so we, like, tried to give it broccoli and, like, carrots and whatnot. Didn't want anything to do with that.
Just like every human, yeah.
Yeah, so we got her a little bowl of milk. And the cat drank it, which I thought it was a girl. This whole time I thought it was a girl. Well, this morning I was informed by my fiance that it's a boy. So we already have a cat. his name is Mahomes, and the loudest
from
cat
Jackson
I've ever.
Mahomes, right?
No, the other one. Named after Chiefs quarterback Patrick.
Yeah,
Mahomes.
Not Jackson. Okay, good.
So we it have this sucks. A cat named Mahomes, and he's the loudest cat I've ever encountered in my life. I mean, he purrs so loud that like it shakes the room. I mean, like, is the loudest cat I've ever seen, ever been close to in my life. So we've been debating back and forth for the last 2 days. Are we going to keep this cat? What are we going to do? So last night we finally decided that we were going to try to keep the cat. Well, we don't want to bring it in the house yet because we need to get it. We need to get it its shots, make sure it doesn't have like fleas or worms or any of that stuff.
Sure.
So trying to find out about a clinic or a vet here in the Springfield area, which I'm sure there's plenty that we can get that taken care of. But we were trying to come up with names. Well, I think this morning we finally nailed it. So we've got Mahomes, you know, and we thought maybe Kelsey would be a good name.
I was just thinking that. I'm thinking of like Chiefs names right
but
now.
But the thing is, my aunt named her cats Mahomes and Kelsey. So we don't want to go along the same trend. Plus, my fiance's sister-in-law's name is Kelsey. So yeah. Like naming the cat, like, right, that's just like, that's sort of confusing and weird.
Sure.
So we decided to go with Casey, spelled KC.
Okay.
Because that sort of leans into that same trend. So we decided to go with that. Fed the cat again this morning because my fiance got home from a meeting yesterday afternoon with cat food. She brought a bag of cat food home with her, unsurprisingly. So, you know, we've now got two cats. You know, we're feeding the cat, giving the cat water and stuff like that. And she stayed around the house for the last 2 days. Has stayed around the house for the last 2 days. So just trying to make it to Friday. We move into our new apartment on Friday because we don't want to bring the cat into a house that isn't ours.
Yeah.
Right. And who knows? They've got a dog at their house too. So just, you know, I hate outdoor. I hate the idea of outdoor animals. I can't stand it. I've had one outdoor animal. Was a dog when I was little. I just don't like it. Too many things can go wrong. Other animals in the area and weather and yeah. Cars and so on and so forth.
That's
true. I can't stand that. So I've been having a really hard time not taking the cat inside, but it's one of those things. It was funny that we FaceTimed my mom last night and my dad just started making fun of me because I've mentioned on the podcast that my dad is a big cat person and I'm not a cat person, but I have just completely fallen in love with this cat because it's just, it wants to be held. It wants to be loved on. It hasn't bit or scratched or anything in 3 days. I mean, it's just the nicest, tamest little cat. And I've fully fallen in love with this cat and I want to take it home with us.
That's very cool. Yeah. My mother deals with that same situation. She actually brought home, I've told you this before, she brought home a cat from Arkansas 1 year around New Year's. And it was just like a rescue cat that she found. Owner didn't want it. Actually, there were two cats, but she couldn't. With our, you know, situation, we live in a duplex. And obviously, the landlord's not in favor of having animals there. So we can only take home one. And even then, we have to pay him like a $15 to $20 fee per month, which, you know, it is what it is. It's their rules. But other than the cat that we take care of inside, she takes care of these two other outdoor cats. And she's torn by the fact that, like, she can't bring them inside and, you know, nurture them like you're talking about right now. And, yeah, that's a very rare thing, a stray cat that's friendly. You know, usually when you're driving by a neighborhood or whatever, you try to get close to a cat, whatever, they get skittish. They run off, even though you have the best intentions for it.
Right. Well, and my thing is, it might not be a technically stray cat. You know, it may be somebody's outdoor cat.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my mind, and, you know, some people may disagree with me here, Finders keepers.
Losing.
If you want the cat as an outdoor cat and I want the cat as an indoor cat and it's hanging around my house,
I'm
taking your cat inside and it's my cat now. Get over it.
Finders keepers, losers weepers.
If that cat, if he is still at our house on Friday when you move into the apartment, guess what? That cat, I'm picking it up, I'm putting it in my car, I'm driving it to the new apartment, and it's going to be in our apartment.
There you go.
It's my cat now. There you go. You are SOL. If you know the reference.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't say it. Thank you, FCC. But, nah, taking care of outside cats is a great thing. We take care of a lot of outside animals as well. My mom is a huge humanitarian.
So is my mom. I mean, we've done that. My mom's done that. We've fed cats, dogs. My mom has started feeding the squirrels around our house.
Squirrels.
She'll buy like the little like pieces of like corn and stuff that you can put. Right. And she's mom got would, yeah. put it. She's got a little rod that sticks out of our back porch, and she'll just put the little corn on there. And
my mom will take like old like stale bread or just anything that's like expired and put it out there for the animals. Like anyone, like armadillos, raccoons. We even have a couple of groundhogs at our place that we had chow down on our seconds.
We had a cat. I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. My mom named it Sweetie, and she forced my dad to make, like, so he took, like, a little plastic tote, right, and he cut a hole in it, and he put, like, blankets and a little, like, bed in there and everything for this little cat that we had outside, and it had a bowl of water and a bowl of food and everything for this cat.
My mom
like
did that as well. Months.
And then we ended up, the cat just, you know, took off one day and never came back, and that's sort of what happens with outdoor animals and stuff, which is what's making me really nervous at the prospect of this outdoor cat, because, you know, we've got 4 days before I move into the apartment this upcoming Friday and Saturday. I'm really nervous that with my luck that I'm just going to fall completely in love with this cat, which I pretty much already have.
Yeah.
And like Wednesday or Thursday, this cat's just going to be gone and I'm never going to see it again. And I'm going to be really angry and I'm going to be stuck with my fiance's cat, which I'm not really a huge fan of.
Oh, really? You don't like that cat?
He's so loud, man. He's so loud. When I first graduated college and moved down here, which was November, December of last year, I moved into the apartment with her apartment, and she had the cat and everything, and, you know, we had to keep it in our room because he wasn't fixed yet, and we were still trying to get him used to the litter box and all that stuff. So we didn't want him out in the apartment and stuff and, you know, scratching on the furniture and whatnot. So, but this cat, I mean, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, still just wide awake, running up and down. He had affection towards the blinds in our room by the window. So he would just mess with the blinds. He would pull them down so he could see outside, or he'd crawl up under them and just like walk back and forth along the blinds, making just the loudest noises possible. And when I am not kidding you, if this cat was laying in the bed and was purring, the entire bed vibrated. I have never encountered a cat that meowed and purrs that loud. Now, he's gotten fixed, and so he's a lot more mellow. Now he's a lot more tame, but I mean, this cat.
He's gotten fixed. Like, he's a mechanical cat.
Yeah. Well, he got fixed, so he can't have the babies and stuff.
Oh,
and he's no
that
longer.
Fixed. Okay,
he's
okay,
no
okay,
longer,
gotcha,
like,
gotcha,
peeing all over the place and stuff, because he had an issue with that, right? Trying to mark his territory all over the place. Well, when they get fixed.
That's a cat?
Yeah, when they get fixed, that sort of goes away.
Okay.
Which is something that we're going to have to do with this cat now. I thought it was a girl, but it's a boy. So that's. We're going to have to get that and get his. Fleas taken care of if he's got fleas and you know, get his shots and everything so we can have him in the apartment, because we're already paying the fee for the one, right, for one animal, but the second one is free. Now, every one beyond two is you have to pay another fee or whatever. So we're not really worried about that. Now the worry is can we keep him around until Friday when we move in so we can take him with us?
Yeah.
And then is he going to get along with the other cat, Mahomes, which I'm hoping he does, because I've known Mahomes for almost a year now, and I've known this cat for 3 days, and I like this cat way better than I like the other cat. Yeah. This one's my cat. You know, it's when we were sitting there FaceTiming outside our house yesterday, and I laid down, and this cat immediately walked up and hit his head up against my head to like rub up against me, and then laid down right next to me. I mean, and then, you know, I put my arm out and he laid his head right down on my arm and just laid next to me for like 10 minutes.
Mahomes or the other cat?
The other cat.
Aw.
This cat,
Casey,
this cat is awesome. I love this cat, and I've never, ever been a cat person in my life.
That's very cool.
I have owned throughout my life, from the time I was born until now, this will be the 8th cat that I've owned. And I have never encountered a cat like this in my life. You know, every cat my parents or I have ever owned before was sort of like, they didn't really like to be loved on or cuddled very often, right? Like, you could pick them up and they'd be cool for like 45 seconds and then they would just freak out and be like, hey man, get the hell off me. Like, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. Get away from me. I don't want anything to do with this. But this cat, it's just, I mean, as soon as you walk outside, you just hear his little meow because it's so quiet, and he'll walk right out and he'll walk right up to you. You sit down on the ground or on the picnic table, and he will walk right up to you. If you're sitting up above him, he'll put his paws up on your knee, like, "Hey, man, pick me up. Like, I'm looking for attention. Can you please pick me up?"
A cat that acts like a dog. That's so cool.
Oh, dude, I can't even fathom it. I've never, ever been a cat person, but I am completely infatuated with this cat.
My cat is somewhat like way in both of your regards. He's not as active, I would say, as, you know, your cat at like 3 or 4 in the morning, because I get up at that time because, you know, I'm built different. I've told this story many times.
Built like a sociopath.
Yeah, I am a sociopath. But yeah, like, I'll get up and he himself too will wake up. So I have to do like a sports report, like a prelude for the sports reporters with Ned Reynolds. And I'll be recording at like 4 or 4:15, and I'll have my door slightly cracked open so that whenever he wants to, the cat, he can just barge in and just go into my room. And like, he'll kind of do the same thing that Casey does for your cat. He'll like rub up against my legs for like a little bit, and then he'll just lay like next to the chair that I'm sitting on and just lay there, just purr, yeah, and lay there, be my accompany, be my, what's the word? Companion.
Companion, there you go.
Yeah. And my companion.
It's so hard right now because when we go back inside, so like this morning, we went outside to feed him because we bought cat food because that's just who we are,
yeah,
right? We bought cat food, went outside to feed the cat this morning. My fiance had to come back inside to get ready because she had class this morning. And so she had me stand outside there or sit outside there with him so he would eat his food, you know, give him his attention, whatever. And so got right, watched him eat his food. He drank his water, got his attention, everything, so on and so forth. And I started walking back towards the house, towards the room, and he just followed right behind me, right? And so I had to sort of keep my foot between him and the door
because
I, with everything in me, I wanted to let him in the house.
Yeah.
But I knew I couldn't. So I finally got, right, we got done, closed the door, and he just sat outside our door for like 10 minutes and just meowed. Like, "Hey, man, let me in."
Yeah.
So a little bit later, I went outside again to play with him a little bit more. And then I came back in and I tried to put my foot in between him and the door again. Well, he, you know, juked my foot out and just ran in the, right, got right in the door. And so I had to pick him up. And as soon as I picked him up, sort of walking him back towards the door, my fiance walked in. She's like, "Did you just let that cat in here?" I was like, "No, I didn't. I can promise you I didn't. It looks bad. I know it looks bad." And she wants to let the cat in too, so I don't know why she's coming at me. But
yeah, exactly. Come on.
It's one of those things, like, we would definitely let the cat in if it was our place, but sure, it's not ours.
Not yet.
It's not our place and everything, so, you know, just...
Not at your place yet.
Oh, really, just really, really hoping that this cat hangs around for another 4 days so we can take him with us to the apartment.
All in due time. And like you said, like, your cat Mahomes is just like my cat in the fact that, like, he's loud, like... And this cat is so pampered, and that's just because my mom, like, spoils him, and myself included, I spoil him to the highest degree, to the 10th degree. But we've gotten to the point to where, like, if his food is not right, like, if it's not, like, the dry food that he wants, he'll just, like, sit there at his bowl and just look at us. Like he's sitting straight up, like, on his hind legs, just like a Buddha statue. He'll just, like, look at us and
yeah,
be mad and just start meowing loudly.
This cat eats everything. So
I wish my cat was like that.
I got home Sunday morning after working overnight, and he was right outside. He was sleeping behind our refrigerator that we have outside our room. And, you know, he was meowing and he was coming up to me, and like, I could tell he was hungry. Super skinny little cat. So I looked it up, right? And they're like, they said like the number one human food you can feed a cat is cooked meat. So we have like one of those party trays,
yeah,
that's got like the crackers and two different types of like salami, two different types of cheese, right?
Yeah.
So I grabbed like 7 or 8 pieces of like salami, and I was trying to give him like whole pieces. He couldn't eat the whole piece, and he was meowing and he was like upset that he couldn't eat it. So I started ripping it up into pieces and putting it on the floor in front of him so he would eat it. Well, he ate like 5 or 6 pieces off the floor, and then eventually he just started eating it out of my hand. He didn't want to eat them off the floor. He would eat them like right out of my hand, which was ugh. And then my fiance shows up with cat food, right? The dry, crunchy cat food. And she also bought a couple of cans of like the soft food.
The dry food, yeah. Or soft food.
Yeah. So she goes out there with a can of the soft food, and she said he smoked it. He ate the whole thing in like 45 seconds. Well, then the last night and this morning, we gave him like regular, like crunchy, you know, cat food, dry cat food. And he ate that too.
Oh.
So like, he's not a picky eater. by any means. You know, that's probably just
I wish my cat was like that.
An aspect of being a stray cat, but, I suppose.
And also, my cat is also a very weak eater. He has a weak stomach. We can't feed him any kind of dairy. Like you said, like you gave your cat like a bowl of milk or whatever. We do that to our cat, he'll throw it right back up.
That's fun.
Yeah. Him throwing up is not fun. Like, and we have to be careful because, you can't have a meal without any kind of, like, dairy. Like, a piece of cheese on a burger or, like, a glass of milk to wash it down. Maybe some cottage cheese or even some ice cream to finish off your meal.
Ew. Did you just say cottage cheese?
You don't like cottage cheese?
It's disgusting.
How's it?
It's like half milk, half cheese. It's nasty.
Nah, it's not.
Its consistency is gross. Ew.
You're from the Midwest and you don't like cottage cheese.
I can't stand cottage cheese.
God.
I hate it.
Logan.
My little brother absolutely loves cottage cheese. Like, let me tell you, when we would go grocery shopping, my mom would have to buy like 4 tubs of cottage cheese because we would come home and Coleman would eat like 2 entire tubs of cottage cheese
in
one sitting.
I'm not to that extent of cottage cheese.
Oh, it makes me sick. It makes me absolutely sick to my stomach.
Do you just not like the look of it or the taste?
The
or?
Look, the taste, the consistency, the whole shebang. Can't stand it. I have issues with consistency when it comes to foods, okay? I don't like cake because of the consistency and the taste, frankly. Cornbread, consistency.
Yeah, I don't like
cornbread.
Weirds me
out. Can't stand it. I can't. Crunchy peanut butter weirds me out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind the taste of it. The taste is really good. It's just the consistency, right? Like, I'm eating peanut butter and it's like creamy, and then I'm like, I take a bite and it's like creamy peanut butter, and then the next bite, I've got like 6 peanuts, and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, no, I'm not a cornbread guy either, and yeah. I guess I don't have an opinion on crunchy peanut butter because I never had it. It's always just creamy. But I do get the sense of the fact that like it'd be weird if you're like just eating peanut butter and all of a sudden you feel like a crunch because peanut butter is supposed to be smooth. But
there's certain things that I don't like the consistency throws me off. And you know, I'm not a milk drinker either. I don't mind milk, you know, they use milk to cook whatever, or bowl of cereal, whatever, but I'm not really the kind of person that just like sits down with a glass of milk and drinks it. That's just not
really
me.
Well, I have to have it like with a meal, I guess, or something like that. Or like do you have cookies and milk or do you not drink cookies and milk?
I eat cookies, you know.
Drink cookies and milk. That's the saying for today. Drink cookies and milk.
The only time I'll really do cookies and milk is like Oreos.
Ooh, you dunk them?
Yeah. I like Oreos. Oreos is one of those things that, like, I can't eat a lot of them at one time. Right?
Well, you really shouldn't because that's not healthy.
I can't just, like, sit down and eat, like, 15, 20 or more Oreos.
Ooh.
Right? Like, I can eat, like, 7 or 8 at a time.
Me, like,
and then
5 or 6,
like,
yeah.
I just get overwhelmed by, like, the dark chocolate sort of taste, and I gotta take a break. I gotta cool off on that.
Sure. Yeah, but my cat can't put anything dairy in his stomach. Or anything soft, for that matter. We tried to feed him, like, a soft, one of those meals that you got for Casey or whatever. We tried to feed him one of those, like, soft turkey meals that you get, mm-hmm. the little cans, whatever. He ate, like, half the thing and then threw it back up 10, 15 minutes later. But the other outside cats love it, so.
There you go.
Sensitive cat, sensitive stomach, and spoiled to the 10th degree, like I said. And him being up at night as well. Like I said, he'll, like, you know, be somewhat active in the night, not as much as Mahomes is to you, but
oh man,
he'll like meow a little bit, like he'll meow not as loud as Mahomes or whatever, and I'll be like shh, because my mom's still sleeping because you know she's a normal human being, unlike yours truly.
Fair, so,
yeah. But this has been a hell of a way to start the podcast. We spent 30 minutes talking about foods that we don't like. How you're a Midwesterner and you don't like cottage cheese, and
I know a lot of people that don't like cottage cheese.
I know. I'm just saying.
Hey, listen, the legendary Art Haynes and myself. We bonded over our pure hatred of cottage cheese.
Really?
I just want you to know that.
Not over the love of the Kansas City Chiefs, but the fact of the hate.
Well, yeah, that too.
Of cottage
and
cheese.
And our complete and utter, you know, disappointment and up and down attitude about the Kansas City Royals. And yeah, it's just.
Well, that's a hell of a segue.
A lot of stuff, but I feel like we really bonded together
over
the fact that neither one of us like cottage cheese. I feel like that's where, things really got important for us.
Fair enough. Well, that's a hell of a segue because the Royals were in action this past weekend against the M's, the Seattle Mariners. And look, they won 2 out of 3 against Seattle.
3 out of 4.
3 out of 4, actually, in Seattle, nonetheless. And dude, is Salvador Perez having the best season ever as a catcher in history?
He's certainly, I think, without question, the best catcher in Major League Baseball this season. 38 home runs, which breaks Carlton Fisk's American League record for most home runs in a season for a player who has played at least 75% of their games at catcher. Now, there were seasons where Carlton Fisk hit like 43, 44 home runs, but he was primarily a DH at that point in his career.
Yeah.
So in seasons where a guy has played 75% or more of his games at catcher, Salvador Perez has the most home runs in a season by an American leaguer, which is insane. He's at 38 home runs, 59 and 71 the Royals are on the year. Not really what people wanted, but still, there's 32 games left in the year, if I'm doing that math correctly. I believe 59 plus 71 is 130, I want to say.
Close enough. Let's just go
with it. I think it's 130. That sounds right.
We're radio hosts,
so
not math.
32 games left in the season. You're at 38 home runs. He's homered in five straight games, including two grand slams
in back-to-back
days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just insane. I mean, like I said, home runs in five straight games. He's got eight home runs during this road, during that road series, which lasted 12 games. He in the three-game series against the Cubs, he had two home runs. The series against the Astros, he homered in the last game of that series, and then homered in every game of the four-game series against the Mariners. So 10 games, he hit eight home runs. Eight home runs in 10 games.
As a catcher.
As a catcher. That's insane. 38 bombs on the season. And, you know, I just want to point something out because I'm supremely frustrated right now in one particular thing. Okay? Nicky Lopez is batting 292. What is happening? Who is this man? 292. He was 3-for-4 in the game last night against the Mariners. Edward Olivares kind of screwed the Royals with his error that allowed, you know, he had another error which allowed a run, which was sort of the nail in the coffin for the Royals in the 3-4 loss. But I mean, just Whit Merrifield's batting 280, Nicky Lopez 292, Salvador Perez is batting 277, and then it just really just drops from that point. It really takes a giant leap downward.
It jumps off a cliff.
Yeah, Edward Olivares hit fourth. He hit cleanup last night. Went 0-for-3. He's batting 231. Andrew Benintendi's batting 256. Dozier's batting 204. Michael Taylor's batting 246. Ryan O'Hearn 230. Carlos Santana's batting 225. Now, Rivera, who hasn't really gotten a lot of run in the majors, he's batting 272. But it's been very limited. Emmanuel Rivera, his time has been really limited. So, yeah, he's betting 272, but you sort of take that with a grain of salt because he's only played in 24 games this season. So, you know, it's one of those things. But, yeah, you take a look at that top three, those top three guys in the order, Whit Merrifield, Nicky Lopez, Salvador Perez, and you think that's
pretty good.
That might be one of the better top threes in all of Major League Baseball. And then it just really just falls off a cliff. Which is, you know, it's frustrating, but we knew that this wasn't going to be a team that was a playoff contender. You know, at 59 and 71, I feel like that's a respectable mark to be at for them. Salvador Perez is now second in Major League Baseball in home runs behind
Shohei Ohtani.
Obviously, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, insane. Insane what he's able to do. New record. American League record. I don't know what the Major League record is for home runs in a season by a catcher.
Probably by Mike Piazza in the National League. I'm going to go check that out real quick.
Yeah, it's one of those things. He is really, really coming up on major territory, which he's already at, to be completely honest with you. But just insane what he's been able to do. The best season by a catcher in terms of hitting the ball that we've seen since God knows when.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a member of the Kansas City Royals. But just, I mean, my goodness.
So it looks like Mike Piazza holds that record for a primary catcher, and he's, in two different times in his career, hit 40 bombs.
Wow.
1997 with the Los Angeles Dodgers when he finished second in MVP voting, only behind Larry Walker of the Colorado Rockies. And then back in 2000 when he finished third in the MVP voting. My gosh, what a season he had. 2000, 324 average, 38 home runs, 113 RBIs. Who was better than this man? Oh, Barry Bonds, obviously, and Jeff Kent, two guys from San Francisco. Yeah, I kind of forgot. I've kind of forgotten that era that, you know, the greatest hitter of all time also played in that era. And in the National League as well, the San Francisco Giants. So, yeah, what Perez is doing is incredible. And if the Royals were maybe a fringe playoff team, he could be a candidate for MVP. But
I think he should, I mean, he should get some votes. He should finish in the top 10.
I'd probably say top five.
I would say top five too, but, you know.
You got Shohei, you got Vlad.
I'm gonna chill out on that. I suppose, you know, maybe it's a little biased. Vlad, Shohei, God, who else in the American League is there?
Exactly.
I mean, I guess that's a fair point.
I know. It makes you think, and I'm probably sure we're just forgetting guys, and people are going to be tweeting at us, the three people that see our tweets combined. By the way, my Twitter handle is at the Frizz Sports, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, and yours, Logan, is?
At L Weber Radio.
L Weber Radio.
It has now changed, but, you know, I made it a little bit easier on people to be able to find. You know, Michael Brantley's batting .317. He's third in Major League Baseball in batting average. Yuli Gurriel is batting .311.
Marcus Semien could possibly be in there as well. Cedric Mullins has had a really good year, offensive-wise.
You could make an argument maybe Garrett Cole could show up in that MVP conversation.
Yeah.
He's got 13 wins, which is tied for the second most in Major League Baseball. So, you know, there's some arguments to be made there. Some of those pitchers in the Brewers staff, you know, Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff.
Yeah, but
both
you're switching
ERAs.
To the National League.
Oh,
now.
I guess Milwaukee is in the National League.
Yeah.
So that's on me. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jose Abreu again.
Yeah, maybe.
101 RBIs, which is the most in Major League Baseball. Rafael Devers with 96 RBIs, second most in Major League Baseball. Salvi's in third. But yeah, with 38 home runs, which is the second most in Major League Baseball, and the third most RBIs in Major League Baseball. Which, having the third most RBIs in the MLB for a team that is 12 games below .500, that's impressive in and of itself, I would say. Abreu and Devers are 3 and 4 hole hitters for two of the best teams in the American League. So, I don't really know what that calls for. So, it's definitely going to be interesting to see. But, you know, Salvador Perez is putting himself in elite company. He's now got 190 home runs as a catcher, which puts him in the top 20 all-time home runs by a catcher. Piazza's in first with 399. Carlton Fisk second with 366. And then, you know, like Johnny Bench with 356. But he's got 190. So he could catch up to a lot of guys in that area. He's currently one behind Russell Martin. Guys, he's coming up on Jason Veritek, Todd Hundley, Bill Dickey, Benito Santiago, guys that he might be able to. I mean, some of those guys, Hundley's got 199. So he'll probably pass Martin and Veritek this season and get fairly close to Hundley. But, you know, he comes out next season and hits another 30 or more. Again, next season, he might push himself into the top 10 in home runs by a catcher in MLB history.
You think that maybe puts him in for a good case in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, if he finishes, he's going to get, does the MLB do like all MLB, right? Because he's going to win the Silver Slugger. Silver Slugger for catcher in the American League.
I think they do it to some extent, but it's not like as important as, say, like the NFL or the NBA. They'll have like you said, the Silver Slugger Awards, and then maybe like an all MLB team, maybe all. Because it doesn't show up as like a big accolade if you look on, you know, Baseball Reference or whatever, but maybe they do. I'm not 100% sure on that, but.
And I don't know who the favorite is to win Gold Glove at catcher, but, I mean, theoretically, Salvi's won it so many times, he could be a favorite to win that again. So, you know, if he goes out and he's the Silver Slugger in the American League for catcher, which he will be, possible Gold Glove winner at catcher for the American League, which he's been several times throughout his career, he made the All-Star game again, just broke the American League record for home runs in a season by a primary catcher. I think you could make the argument that he's a Hall of Famer right now. I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased because of that.
I could see it. I could 100% see it right now because, like you said, it's not just with his bat. It's with his glove as well. He's been one of the top defensive catchers of the American League for the majority of a decade now.
Yeah,
so.
And he's only got, I mean, he seems to be getting better in terms of his hitting.
Aging like fine wine.
Yeah, he hit 3 home runs in his first year. He only played in 39 games, hit 3 home runs in 39 games. Then he hit 11 in his second season, played 76 games for the Royals. And then his first real season, right, his first full season as the primary catcher for the Royals was in 2013. He hit 292 with 13 home runs, then hit 260 with 17 home runs, 260 with 21 home runs, 247 with 22 home runs. And then in 2017, he hit 27 home runs. Same thing in 2018, 27 home runs. People are sort of ignoring the tear he was on last season with the COVID-shortened year. It was only 37 games played, but he hit 11 home runs in 37 games and batted .333.
And this is coming off a season where he missed the previous season due to Tommy John. Usually, players that like take a year off due to injury don't usually come back to their fullest ability. So
yeah, and now this season, .277 with 38 home runs, 94 RBIs. He's got 138 hits. He struck out 137 times, but you know he's been a strikeout guy throughout his career.
And it doesn't matter. Strikeouts don't matter anymore. It really doesn't.
No.
An out's an out, you know.
And he's played in 129 games, which is the same amount he played in 2017 and 2018, in which he hit 27 home runs. So he's got 11 more home runs in the same amount of games as he played in 2018 and 2017. Prior to the missing the entire year in 2019. I mean, unreal. And like I said last week, with MJ Melendez possibly, you know, moving into not next year, but maybe the year after, moving up to the MLB, maybe he could be the primary catcher and you could have Salvi as your DH. And he's hit 38 home runs this year, playing more than 75% of his games this season as the team's catcher. If he's just worried about hitting, maybe he could hit 50. I don't know.
Yeah. Give him the Joe Mauer treatment like I alluded to last week on the podcast.
Man. Just an unreal season. A season that we haven't seen from a catcher since, like you said, the likes of Mike Piazza. Unreal what he's been able to do.
I wonder if the Cardinals are going to do that, because it's pretty certain the Universal DH is going to be in the National League next year. So I wonder if the Cardinals would do that with Yadi. Though Yadi doesn't have as near as power numbers. He never did to Salvador Perez.
Who would be the catcher then?
Andrew Kisner.
Andrew Kisner.
Or maybe
eventually
even
you bring up Ivan Herrera.
Ivan Herrera, yeah. Bring him up as a top prospect or maybe even the backup catcher for next year behind Kisner. But, you know, a lot of options. And, of course, it's all known now. Yadi is going to play his last season next year for the 2022 season. I wonder how teams are going to treat him and give him somewhat of a farewell tour.
Oh, and also I want to point out that, you know, I mentioned Salvi has hit home runs in 5 straight games, tied the franchise record with home runs in 5 straight games, set by Mike Sweeney in 2002.
I was going to guess Mike Sweeney, yeah.
Yep, so he set a record that has been around for 19 years, and if he blasts one on Tuesday against the Indians, he will own that record himself.
Mike Sweeney. I'd love to have him as a card in MLB The Show. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely fair.
Indeed. And it seems like The Show, and I know we're jumping totally different topics here, but they, like, give random flashbacks to random people or, like, random, I guess, legends, you know. They weren't scrubs, obviously, but, I mean, you know, like, A.J. Burnett's a card in the game. If they ever brought out a Chris Carpenter card, who's my favorite player of all time, position player, pitcher, otherwise, if they brought him out, I would legitimately, I don't care how many stubs he would cost, I would put money into that game and be the first guy to get him.
Yeah, I would do the same thing for Dustin Pedroia.
Oh, yeah. He'll come back.
Pedroia is my favorite. Yeah. Pedroia is my absolute... Pedroia is the reason I became a Red Sox fan.
When did he retire? 2019? 2020? Or it must have been recent.
It was fairly recent. You know, he was around. He stayed around for a long time, even after... I mean, injury sort of plagued the end of his career, to be honest. I mean, he came out... He was Rookie of the Year in 2007.
Won the MVP in 08 or 09.
In which he was absolutely... I mean, the guy should have been an All-Star. He hit .317.
Wait, he won an MVP but wasn't an All-Star?
He won the MVP the next year. He was Rookie of the Year in 2007, in which he batted .317, had a .380 on base percentage. And then the next year, batted .326 with a .376 on base percentage. He hit 17 home runs, had 83 RBIs, 118 runs scored, which was best in Major League Baseball, 213 hits, which was the most in Major League Baseball, 54 doubles, which was the most in Major League Baseball, All-Star, He won the MVP. It was a Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger. Unreal. He played second base,
of
which
course.
Is what I played. He wasn't even an All-Star in 2017.
Yet he won Rookie of the Year.
Yet he won Rookie of the Year, batted 317.
See, I was going to say, if he wasn't the MVP but wasn't an All-Star, like, he must have had a hell of a second half. He wasn't an All-Star, but somehow won the MVP.
He was All-Star again in 2009 and 2010. He was an All-Star in 2010, but missed basically the entire back half of the season.
Yeah.
He only played in 17 games. Came back again in 2011. Wasn't an All-Star, but finished ninth in the MVP voting. Got another Gold Glove. Batted 307.
Yeah.
The next year, wasn't an All-Star again. Played in 141 games, batted 290. And then 2013, which was the last real, I mean, I
won't say.
Productive
season?
Not really, because in 2016, at 32, he played in 154 games, batted 318, wasn't an All-Star again. What the hell are you doing, MLB? Unreal. And then, you know, injuries really sort of plagued the back half of his career. He only played 75 games in 2010, 93 games in 2015, and then 2018, 2019, he played a combined 9 games. 2019 was his last year.
Yeah.
He only played in 6 games.
And it's something to do with the rights of the MLB, but, like, he won't be able for, like, flashback or legendary status until, like, 4 or 5 years down the road. So maybe, like, at the earliest, we'll get, like, a legend flashback in, like, 2024, maybe? Like, it'll be a little while before he makes his reappearance into MLB The Show.
Yeah, and I would pay real fiscal money.
To get him?
To get a Dustin Pedroia card. Yeah. So, Salvador Perez now ties with the home run he hit last night, his 38th of the year, tied Mike Moustakas in 2017 for the second most home runs in a season by a Royals player. Of course, Jorge Soler still owns the record. I don't think Salvi will catch him unless he goes on an absolute, continues on the tear that he's on right now. Soler hit 48 home runs in 2019.
Oh, yeah, that's...
So that seems a little bit out of reach.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's got the most home run. Salvi now has the most home runs by an American League player who played at least 75% of their games at catcher, passing Carlton Fisk, who hit 37 in 1985. Pudge Rodriguez has the most home runs in a single season as a catcher with 35 in 1999. Salvi has 26 playing catcher.
Okay. All right.
This season, he's got 12 as a DH. So 26 home runs hit as a catcher this season. Don't think he's going to be able to catch
Pudge
for that one. But, I mean, what a year. What an insane year for Salvador Perez. Best season we've seen from a catcher
in a long
hitting
time
since, I would say, Pudge Rodriguez in 1999.
And we really didn't even see Pudge. Like, we didn't grow up with Pudge.
No,
like,
I was a year old.
Yeah, and Pudge kind of was, he was still playing whenever we were kids, but he wasn't, you know, at the stats that he was when he was in organizations like the Marlins, the Tigers, Mets,
the Rangers.
Rangers, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
not
where
the
guys
Mets,
first
the Rangers is what I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're thinking of Piazza. He was
yeah,
on the Mets.
I was thinking of Mike Piazza.
Yeah, but, nah, it's crazy to see. You know, it's also just crazy to see losing games in the final inning when you're up by 2 or more runs.
Uh-oh.
Oh, St. Louis. You know, I really... Whenever we record our sports talk segment for Friday, I really didn't want to talk about the Cardinals then. And I really, really don't want to talk about the Cardinals now, considering what happened over the weekend. But you know what? I'm sure the 5 people that listen to this podcast want to hear my take on the Cardinals right now. You know what? Over the weekend, they did all right. They won 2 games after embarrassingly losing the first one on Thursday. They were playing a 4-game series with the Pirates. And they played 2 very good games on Friday and Saturday, winning it 4-3, I believe, on Saturday or Friday, and then winning it big time 13-0 on Saturday. And then the Sunday game, the game that was played yesterday. It looked good. Really did. Cardinals jumped out to an early 2-0 lead, I believe, or it was 1-1 at the time. They jumped out first. And then they put up another 2 runs, and then Pittsburgh put up a run. It was 3-1 heading into the 9th. And really, it was a well-pitched game. You know, Kwang Young Kim, who just came back from the IL, pitched 4 solid innings, I believe, 4 or 5 solid innings. Luis Garcia pitched a good inning. A few other Cardinal, I want to say TJ McFarland pitched a good scoreless inning. I don't know if he pitched or not. I can't think off the top of my head. And then Gallegos comes in and throws a very quick 1-2-3 inning. Does it on less than 10 pitches, I believe. And then Alex Reyes, the all-star closer for the St. Louis Cardinals, comes out of the bullpen. And it just all began to unravel. It was just like seeing deja vu all over again. Before I get into the spiel, yeah, Kim threw four, gave up only one run and three hits while striking out three. Luis Garcia threw an inning and a third of scoreless baseball, striking out two. TJ McFarland came in and pitched an inning and two thirds, scoreless, no hits, one strikeout. Then Giovanni Gallegos came in, pitched a scoreless inning with a strikeout. And then Reyes comes in, walks the first batter, I believe, or he struck out the first batter. And then walks one man. And then walks another man. And then Yoshi Setsugo comes up to bat for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And this man has been passed around more than, I don't know, would be a good term for that. Passed around more than, what, an appetizer dish at a wedding or whatever?
There,
like,
you go.
Yeah, that's somewhat what you could say there. That's FCC approved. But anyway, man has gotten passed around by the Rays and the Dodgers this year. Comes to Pittsburgh and has been on a tear, especially against the St. Louis Cardinals. Obviously, Reyes had just walked a batter, so he wants to get ahead of the first batter with the first pitch. Well, don't get ahead with a hanging slider, because Setsugo did what you're supposed to do with any kind of pitch like that and deposit that into the Allegheny River. And just like that, Pirates win 4-3.
Yeah,
baseball. It's beautiful, yet so painful to watch, especially if you're a Cardinal fan. Reyes is cooked. He can't be the closer anymore. He peaked at the All-Star game. Now he's just hot garbage. Gallegos needs to be the closer, or whoever else, someone that can throw quality strikes and not walk two guys on, you know, 10 or 11 pitches and then give up a three-run home run to the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates, dude. Why? Why, I ask, as a frustrated Cardinal fan since pretty much the start of the season, you were supposed to take three out of four. Hell, you're actually supposed to sweep the Pirates. You're not supposed to. They were supposed to win game one. Logan, this series should have easily been a four-game sweep because you should have won game one, yet you gave up eight runs in the seventh. And then you should have won yesterday's game, yet you gave up three runs in the ninth.
Yep.
Should have won this game, and if you would have, you would have been 2.5 games out of the NL wildcard spot with the Cincinnati Reds, who the Cardinals are playing for the next 3 days. Yet, you know what, to the bed. It's insufferable.
It's tough.
It's mind-boggling. It's angering. It's frustrating. It's...
Because, like you said, Alex Reyes, he's tied for second in Major League Baseball in saves with 29. He's still got an ERA under 3 at 2.95, but he has been absolutely shelled in the month of August. In 10 and a third innings pitched, he has got an ERA of 7.84.
That looks like closer numbers to me, Logan. I'll tell you that much.
He's given up 12 hits, 14 runs, 9 of those earned, which is sort of mind-boggling.
How many walks does he have?
6. 6 walks. He's got 14 strikeouts.
That's not bad, but I mean, just, I don't know. It seems like at the beginning of the year, he would do the same thing. He would walk in a bunch of guys and then he would get out of it. Well, now it's rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, he's thrown 8 ground ball pitches in the month of August. 8. And, you know, frankly, he does that quite a bit. Honestly, he had 14 in July, 12 in June. So, like, it's one of those things. I don't really know what the answer is. But, yeah, I mean,
you got to shake things up. I think you have to. Like, and I hate saying that because Reyes is one of the more talented pitchers in the Cardinals organization. He came up as a top pitching prospect, not only in the Cardinals organization, but in all of baseball, and showed it in 2017, I believe, when he got his first, you know, real experience. But he's overused. He's overcooked. We've seen this plenty of times in baseball. Relievers that are off to hot starts in, you know, say April, May, or June, but they get overused, overworked, and they're just not as sharp. They're not as good. That's just how pitching works. That's how
bullpen management is.
Yep. And frankly, this St. Louis Cardinals team is playing as close to what you can call average or mediocre baseball as anybody in the major leagues.
It's incredible.
So since that six-game winning streak they had, in which they swept the Pittsburgh Pirates in Pittsburgh and swept the Royals in Kansas City, they lost 2 out of 3 against the Brewers, then lost 2 out of 3 against the Pirates, then split a 2-game series against the Tigers, and then split a 4-game series against the Pirates. It just seems like the Cardinals have been hovering at this 3 games above 500 mark for the better part of 2 weeks now. And I don't know exactly what the answer is, but
there's plenty of answers, in my opinion. There's so many things wrong with that Cardinals staff that need to be changed, period.
If you're going to if it's going to change, it needs to change right now, because it is vital at this point. 3-game series starting tonight against the Cincinnati Reds, who are, you know, that's the team to catch in the NL wild card. It truly, truly is. You know, you are 3.5 games back of them right now in the division as well as the wild card, obviously. You sweep this series, that puts you a half game back. That is literally everything you need. You're still only 3.5 games back of a wild card spot. That's it.
But it feels like a sweep is not possible. There's no
more than
way.
Likely no. But you
there's
know,
always, it's like, you know, like I started this conversation, this podcast with Casino Talk or whatever, that, you know, highest prize, it could happen, but will it happen? Probably not, because the Reds are a hell of a lot better team, at least in the record books, than the Cardinals are.
But if you take a look, the rest of this season, right, which the season finale, the regular season finale is October 3rd against the Chicago Cubs. Starting tonight, you have 6 games against the Cincinnati Reds. You have a 3-game series against the Padres. You have 7 games against the Milwaukee Brewers, and you have 7 games against the Cubs.
A lot of good teams in that schedule.
Well, you know, the Cubs are not a very good team, especially since the trade deadline when they got rid of everybody.
Right.
So, you know, the goal should be to go 5-2 in those 7 games. Minimum. 5-2. You know, if you can split, you can go 4-3 or 3-4 against the Brewers. You sort of wash that. Is what it is. You're not going to catch them in the division. But if you can win that series against the Padres, and if you can, you know, take 4 out of 6 against the Reds, that can add up to putting you very, very closely in that wild card conversation. I think it could put you in the forefront of that wild card conversation, that second wild card spot, because the Dodgers and or Giants have a stranglehold on that first wild card spot. The Dodgers are up 11.5 games on the Reds for the first wild card spot. You're obviously not going to catch them. You have a better chance of catching the Brewers in your own division, right, for the NL Central crown, than you do catching the Dodgers for the second wild card spot.
Mediocre has been the Cardinals' motto since, I would say, 2015. 15, they won 100 games, won 162, and that's very hard to do in Major League Baseball, win over 100 games. But since then, they went 86-76 in 2016, missed the playoffs. 2017, 83-79, missed the playoffs. 2018, 88-74, missed the playoffs.
And then you fired Matheny.
And then you went 91-71. Your wins jumped up. You were 20 games above 500. But it seems like now that looked like more of a fluke than anything. Because, honestly, Logan, I feel like this roster here in 2021 was a hell of a lot better than the one in 2019. Yet, right now, the Cardinals sit at 66-63, and of course, that 2020 COVID season, like half the league in each league got in, so the Cardinals got in with a record of 30-28, and quite frankly, got what they deserved and got ousted by the Padres in 3 games in that wild card series.
Right.
So, it's been a mediocre franchise, minus 2019. When does stuff have to start changing? Like, when does John Mozeliak or Mike Schilt or whoever, whatever,
hell, even the owners like Bill DeWitt Jr. or Bill DeWitt III have to look at this and say, enough. We've got to start changing things. Like, how much longer are we going to have to deal with this? And I know I'm speaking like I'm a pampered, you know, Cardinal fans, because most of us are. We're used to a lot of success. And I know I'm beating a dead horse by saying this, but this team was supposed to be good. This team, on paper, has a lot of talent. Yet, it's not going to fruition. And I know you can talk about injuries, this and that. Look, teams have to deal with injuries all the time. Every team that's contending right now has had to deal with injuries at some point. I would go over them, but this podcast is getting to an hour length already. It already is. So, you know, I can hope for the best. You know, hell, maybe the Cardinals will sweep the Reds. And maybe they'll play, they'll get hot at the right time. You know, there's always that old adage, getting hot at the right time. We see it all over sports. Basketball, baseball, football. You get hot at the right time, you're a team to be reckoned with. But based off of what we're seeing right now, I can't see it, Logan. And as a baseball fan, you don't even have to be a Cardinal fan. As a baseball fan, you just can't see it. And that's frustrating.
I mean, it's one of those things. It can happen. It definitely can. And I know maybe, you know, with the frustration that Cardinals fans are having, they just don't want to believe that it can happen. But let me tell you, okay, as a Royals fan, it can happen, okay? The Royals, prior to just a week or week and a half ago, the Royals had the third best record in the American League since the All-Star break. The Royals had the best record in Major League Baseball in April. It can happen, okay? And, you know, as a Royals fan, I would much rather get hot in September than in April. That's what happened to the Royals, and it slowly, or I shouldn't even say slowly, it quickly
disintegrated.
On the other hand, fell apart right before our eyes. You know, the Cardinals, teams are overlooking them. Cardinals fans themselves are overlooking this Cardinals team. This Cardinals team has talent, okay?
That's the thing.
Giovanni Gallegos is a good pitcher. Alex Reyes is a good pitcher. Yes, he's been having struggles recently, you know? Maybe when the calendar turns to September, you can throw away what happened in the month of August because you know the talent is there with Alex Reyes. The talent is there. He is still in contention for the NL Reliever of the Year award. He is. Jack Flaherty is a great pitcher. Adam Wainwright has been dealing all year. Michaelis is back, you know?
It's his 40th birthday, by the way, Adam Wainwright.
Wow. Unreal. Unreal.
And hard to believe because he is second in the league in innings pitched in the National League, third in the league in wins, third in all of baseball in wins. And quite frankly, you know, if he had somewhat of a better ERA, which is now at like 2.95 or whatever, which is insane, he could be in contention for a Cy Young.
Yeah.
At 40 years old.
And Paul Goldschmidt has been hitting better in the last couple of weeks. He's got that batting average up in 280s.
Yeah.
285 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Arenado, maybe he can turn around in the month of September.
Yeah, he's had a down year.
Arenado is a great player, okay? And even great players struggle at times, but all it takes is one, right? All it takes is a couple of games, and he can flip that thing right around. If he can bat 300 in the month of September, hit 7 or 8 home runs, you're going to win games, okay? This Cardinals team has a ton of talent. It does. This Cardinals team has playoff talent, and you're not out of the playoff hunt yet, so don't give up on this Cardinals team just yet. That's all I'm saying.
Trying to find like how they've done in the month of, like in different months, but I can't find that here. But I mean, like you said, it's just been basically mediocre baseball that they played throughout the season. And will it change? I hope so. I really do. I want the Cardinals to turn heads with what they do in September. NL Central spot, probably out of the question. Could it happen? Absolutely. Will it happen? Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like if this team can if they can get to 90 wins, they'll be in a good spot for a playoff spot. But it's not going to be easy.
I think 85 wins will get you into the playoffs. I really do.
Really think so?
Yes. Thoroughly, I do.
Let's see here. So, yeah, now I finally pulled them up. Yeah, and you look down the roster, I need to get off this podcast because now I'm going to go into a rambling mode. But you look down the schedule here, 14-12 in April, average. 16-12 in April or in May, slightly above average. 10-17 in June, that's really
that
what's killed
ruined
them.
You. Yep.
That's been pretty abysmal. July, about as average as you can get, 12-11. August, 14-11, and they have one or actually two more games left to play. So, you know, you could have your best month of the season if you take 2 out of 3 against the Reds. That's one way to look at it. So, enough ranting. This has felt like a therapy session Thursday rant with what I'm going on.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit, yeah. But, you know, sometimes you just have to vent. You have to let it out there. The month of September starts anew, you know?
Can't believe it's already September already.
I know.
Where the hell? You know, honestly, I wish 2020 would have gone at this pace than 2021.
I mean, that's fair. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm disappointed in it because, you know, we're now, it's August 30th. Come Wednesday, it's September 1st. And you know what September means?
Fall weather. Cooler
football,
weather.
Football, baby.
Oh, that, football. Yeah, and football.
It means football. See? It means football is a go. It means we're 3 months away from the start of basketball. Man, oh, man, can I not wait.
Neither can I, man. I'm going to be pulling double duty this weekend. I'll have Willard on Friday and then SBU game on Saturday.
Good for you.
Yeah. Ned actually asked me a question as to, like, who SBU is playing and how they're going to be faring. And I told Ned, to be honest with you, Ned, I haven't done my pregame prep yet. And
oh,
I still got time.
Man, oh, man.
It's Monday, dude. Come on. Give me a break.
That's fair.
And I actually started my pregame prep for Willard today while producing the sports reporters. Probably should be more focused on, you know, producing the show. But, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll be pulling double duty there. Well, I've done enough double duty for today doing Ned's show and now the Rookie Sports Report podcast. And hopefully for the last hour, we haven't been on ESPN the Jock on the radio waves. So, but hey, if we have been, hope you enjoyed it.
And there you go. You just listened to our first accidental radio show.
Exactly. And hopefully it'll be a purposeful radio show here in the near future. But that's out of our control. We'll see where the chips may fall. It's out of our control, but we will be on Sports Talk tomorrow filling in for Art Haynes and White Wheeler, so look forward to that. And, yeah, that's about it. Logan, got anything else?
No, I don't have anything. Everybody, go out there. Enjoy your day.
Enjoy your weather. Enjoy your weather. Enjoy the weather. It's
enjoy
not
the
yours.
Weather. Yep. Yeah. No heat advisory today.
Stay
from,
dry,
from what
though.
I've seen.
Yeah, there's a chance for storms.
There is. Yeah, it seems like there's always a chance for storms here, you know?
Not recently, though.
That's true. That's true.
Though it did rain a little bit here yesterday.
Just, I mean, taking a look at it, it's sort of spotty, periodic, throughout
scattered
the day.
Scattered
showers,
it
says there's a drizzle going on right now, 40% chance at 1 o'clock, which is about 12:30 at the moment, and then some possible chance of thunderstorms tonight, 6 and 7 o'clock, and then we're sort of in the clear, and we are, you know, clear skies for the next week, from what I see, but, you know, things can constantly change with the weather. But yeah, just
especially
go out,
in Missouri.
Go out, enjoy your day. You know, do what makes you happy, like we're doing right now, you know, and if you have a stray cat at your house, make sure to feed it and
love
take
it,
care of it.
Everything,
and
yeah.
Name it and make it your pet.
Name it something Kansas City related.
Bingo.
Bingo. I'll name mine something St. Louis related. All right, that's enough rambling for today. For Logan Weber, I'm Matthew Rizzo. This has been the Monday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.